All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a takedown! Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully, thanks to technology, Nick is there, Barry's there, and we're all ready to go. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, man?
What up, people?
Well, Barry, the world wants to know. Inquiring minds wants to know. They don't care about the coronavirus. They don't care about the stock market. They just want to know how the freaking baked potato turned out.
Oh, let me tell you. I had to switch because I changed my mind at the last second. So I went back to doing wings, and this time I thought I would try tater tots. I was like, okay, we've got this whole bag of tater tots that we haven't used, and apparently when you use an air fryer, it makes delicious French fries and whatnot. So let's do it. So I made a batch of wings. Now, I will say, if I'm gone for several segments, it's probably because I'm on the toilet, because I forgot to refrigerate the wing sauce after opening it. So last time I made wings, which was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in the Instapot, I had bought some Hooters wing sauce, used about half of it. And then for some reason, I just put it back in the pantry. I didn't put it in the fridge. But I had already cooked the wings, so I was like, eh, we'll risk it. So I ate like wing sauce that had been sitting out for 3 weeks. So if I don't make it, it's not the coronavirus that kills me. Yeah.
We're gonna blame it on the wing sauce in the pantry, huh? We're not going to blame it on the fact that maybe you had too many wings. We're not going to blame it on that.
No, it's definitely, and it won't be the Rona. It'll be the Rhea.
And you'll have that same sound as you had the first day we connected, where this time, legitimately, you will be broadcasting from the bathroom.
Yes, absolutely.
That's outstanding.
Now, so then I was like, all right, so I made the wings, and I was like, okay, so I'm going to make these tater tots. And I saw a thing online on how to do it. I followed it to the T, and basically I melted tater tots. I don't know how that happened, but I ended up with a pile of what was hash browns, basically. It's just, I don't know how or why, but this sucks, man. So it was a disaster last night. I started with tater tots and I ended with a pile of hash browns, I guess.
This all happened in the Instapot?
Yes, the wings and the tater tots. So I don't know how long it takes to get to Rhea, but we'll see how it goes.
Let's hope
today.
Quickly.
Touche, sir, touche.
Yes. Nick, you good? Everything good? I mean, how is coping with being a local celebrity to go anywhere and everywhere but nowhere to go?
Yeah. The 59 looks exactly the same as it did a week ago when there wasn't a shutdown. No one's abiding by this shutdown. At least it doesn't feel like that, but for me, I don't know how it is. Have you guys gone out of the house since doing the show remotely?
Yeah. Barry, essentially, I needed coffee again this morning. So I went out and had no problem, obviously, going to my Starbucks. And then I said to Lisa, you know what? I'm going to drive by the HEB to see how bad it is. And much to my surprise, it not only wasn't bad. I saw a guy coming out with a mask on and gloves and a cart full. And I go, how bad is it? He goes, it's easy, bro. I was like, really? Went in, everything we wanted was there, got everything, took me maybe 5 minutes in line, maybe 10 at the most, was back in the car and back home, and it was painless, and I was shocked.
Nice.
Yeah, I was very pleased.
Now, did you stock up? Did you stockpile anything, or did you just do your normal grocery shopping?
Just normal what we needed and didn't, like, overdo it. And honestly, Barry, the one thing that I wasn't able to get was the Diet Sunkist again. And they said the same thing. But they did have 2 liters of Diet Coke all over the place. But they said the cans and the bottles are where there's the most of a shortage in terms of trying to get diet soda.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good
at all.
Well,
that just means you better get your boy to help you out, and you better make a little bit of a road trip.
I'm going to have to go see Francisco. Yeah, for sure. That's not – that's disheartening, at, you know. I did go jogging yesterday after the show.
Oh.
You know, I had bought those new running shoes, and somebody – one of the listeners had texted or tweeted me. I don't remember which, but they had asked me about these new running shoes that I got. And I don't remember the name of them. They were the Iron Man version.
Hoka 1-1.
Hoka, yes. Hoka 1-1. That's – see, look at you. You know what's up.
I gave you the suggestion.
Yes. It's like running on pillows.
Yep.
It's the most comfortable running shoe I've ever ran in. The problem is I didn't realize how much weight I had gained. And,
oh, really? Well,
It was unpleasant. Put it this way. I know why chicks wear sports bras. It was bad. I was really out of shape and overweight, and so we're going to have to figure this out. This is not good.
Okay, so maybe the hash browns and the tater tots weren't such a good idea.
Well, that was after. I went running immediately after the show and get it out of the way. But I realized, wow, I have breasts, and that's not fun when you're running. So I'm going to have to get on this.
Now, diet. Did you realize that when running or afterwards?
Yes. No, they bounced. Oh. They bounced. Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't good. It wasn't a good, pleasant feeling. It's disheartening when you're trying to get in shape and your boobs are everywhere. So,
I ran last night and I just realized how hot it was.
Oh, it was hot. For sure. Yeah. It was very hot.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be this hot in Houston in March.
No. No, not at all. In fact, I was going to do some yard work today, but I'm thinking about not doing that. It's a little warm.
It is indeed that. So the jogging didn't go great, but the shoes felt great.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing. So yeah, if you were considering the Hoka 1-1 Iron Man shoes, highly recommended. They don't last that long though. The soles are already tearing up, which was crazy.
Really?
They're like made of they're made of cardboard or something. I have no idea.
Well, I have two pairs of Hokas, not the Iron Man ones. I haven't had any problems with the bottoms. But I will tell you that it's the most comfortable ride that I've ever had running wise. So I highly recommend them.
Yeah, it was good advice on your part for me. So
there you have it. So that's about it. Nicholas, you didn't try anything adventurous, nothing out and about. You didn't need groceries, nothing.
No, I mean, I kind of 2 weeks, like a little less than 2 weeks ago, I got about 2 or 3 weeks worth of groceries, and I really haven't been ordering anything except for I try to do once a day some local restaurant. I feel like some of these restaurants are hurting, like, because of the coronavirus. And then I feel like some of them are benefiting. Think about it. You have, like, no overhead. Nobody's serving food. And all you have is, like, a cook and a takeout order person. Some of them are benefiting. I feel like some of them are getting more orders because of the coronavirus than others. So I want to be more particular about which local business I support until we get through this whole coronavirus situation.
Yeah, I was curious. I asked Lisa about that. I was curious because I thought, now, are your regular go-tos, like the Chinese food place that everybody goes to, do you think they're hurting, or do you think that, you know, people are looking for more of the big-time restaurants that they go to help them so that they stay in business? And she goes, I think the smaller restaurants are hurting. And I said, I kind of feel that way, too. I feel like your bigger restaurants, like we did the whole takeout of the Tex-Mex this weekend, and there was probably 12 cars waiting to get their food. So I was like, well, it's not your dining room full of people, but it still seems as if people are still frequenting that place. But if you're kind of a hole-in-the-wall Chinese restaurant or, you know, a smaller restaurant, I just wonder if people are still staying loyal, and maybe they don't even know you're open.
Yeah, I feel like probably people, they're not seeing as much business and their overhead is a little bit less. But remember now, they don't pay waiters and waitresses all that much money to begin with. They pay them a strip, not even a minimum wage, because most of their money is from tips. So
tips,
they're saving a little bit of money. But I think that what you're probably seeing is a reduction in people eating out because they've stocked up on groceries or because they're scared to get out or because they don't want to get out. They've got a whole family at home, and so it's just easier to cook at home that may be where it's affecting them more. I did see an article where the Cheesecake Factory basically told all of their landlords they're not paying rent in April. They can't. So it
really?
May be that, yeah, it may be that the bigger ones are far more affected than the mom and pops. Because, you know, rent and everything could be larger for those bigger ones.
That's interesting, too. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but I was just curious because, you know, out in this neck of the woods, you still see quite a bit of people out on the roads and in line to get to certain, you know, the bigger restaurants. But, yeah, that's I good. Was just curious how the smaller ones are surviving.
Yeah, I am curious. I wonder if we have any. I know, like, Copos Q is a supporter of the station, advertiser and listener.
Yep.
I'd be curious to see if anybody else listening that has a restaurant that owns one or you know, is a general.
There might be some truth to what you're saying, too, because I was talking to somebody, and I know Bernie's Burger Bus have basically closed all of their locations, even takeout, with an exception of the location that exists in the city of Bel Air. So they laid off over 100 people. So that's not really corporate, but at the very minimum, it's a chain.
Yeah.
And they're hurting, so.
Yeah. So maybe the mom and pops are more built to survive because rent is cheaper because they're probably in a smaller, you know, strip mall or whatever, and less overhead with clients, but they can still produce the food and still serve their customers. Because if you think about it, if you had 12 people in line, those are 12 people that would have been sitting in the restaurant, but then there's never really that long of a wait. Like if you go to one of your favorite local mom and pop restaurants, you may wait 10, 20, 30 minutes. Probably not the case if everything is takeout because there's no seats, no tables
right.
to be consumed. So
now, I will tell you
I'm
this.
Sure they're taking a hit, but it's probably less of a hit than the corporate ones.
Not all of them. There's no way all of them are taking a less of a hit. There's got to be some mom and pops that are hurting way more than the corporate
True.
Ones. It can't
True.
Be all of them.
Yeah. The biggest problem that I had was that they come out to your car, they have you, they, you know, you call in. When you call in, they ask what make and model and everything like that. They verify. But I was watching. Everybody except for the girl that comes to my car is wearing gloves. And then she comes back and hands me a pen and my card and to sign. And I'm going, thinking to myself, really? But I don't want to say anything because she hasn't given me the food yet. And then the guy that comes out, he has gloves and everything like that. I'm like, hey, do you realize your girl's not wearing gloves? He's like, which one? I go, well, you can figure it out. She's the only one. And so before I pulled away, they had Purell on the table. I was like, nope, I got to do everything. I got to do the steering wheel, my hands, the credit card. I'm like, I'm not taking any chances at this point. But if they're going to do takeout only, you got to be smart enough to wear gloves, right?
I would think so.
Well,
I'd probably be smart.
Yeah. So I'm not even going to mention where it is, but you guys already know. All right, we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P Lister line. Call that number. Text that number. You can always hit us on Twitter, at The Producer Nick, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's a Thursday, and we're just getting it rolling. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Segment 2, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city. Hopefully you all are practicing social distancing. We certainly are, by being as far apart as the three of us are for day 2 of this, I guess, more than an experiment where we're all remotely doing the show, but it is kind of fun. And yesterday we had a couple spirited discussions, so I throw this at you, particularly you, Mr. Laminack, because you like to delve into the political side of things, but also the current events. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I mentioned the social distancing because obviously it's something that everybody is highly focused on these days. Did you know, and where do you stand on the fact that Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo has been working for days drafting an executive order that would allow broad-scale compassionate release of nonviolent inmates from jail in Houston.
Well, I think it depends on what they did, but I mean, if somebody's in jail for unpaid parking tickets, I mean, come on, do they really need to be in jail? Now, if you've if somebody robbed a house, is that considered nonviolent? Because if they robbed, house, they deserve to be in jail.
No, I don't think it's. Yeah, I don't think it's breaking into a house, but I think it's. It could be drug charges. It could be fraud. And that's the problem, because now, as long as fraud was nonviolent, they could be out there trying to take advantage of a lot of vulnerable people during this time when obviously everybody that hears anything coronavirus, and I've seen on the news, there are scammers out there daily that are trying to call people, particularly the elderly, and convince them to give up their personal information as part of either testing and or relief for coronavirus. So you're going to let people out of jail because you want to be compassionate to people that obviously aren't compassionate to people. That's why they're in jail.
Well, I think it depends on what you did. If you got busted for weed, I mean, who are they? Now, you know, if it's crack or meth or you stole something or I don't know. I think you have to almost weigh it instead of just nonviolent. I feel like you could be very specific about the charges that you would let people be released on, right? Like, like you said, scamming is one thing, but I mean, you feel like if they could do that almost, you know, anywhere. But yeah, do you, there are some people that you probably don't want out right now in the current environment that we live in. So, I'm all for letting people out that maybe it's not that big of a deal. They're in there for whatever, speeding tickets, parking tickets, DWI, I feel like it's bad, obviously, but they're going to be at home most of the time. Right. So I don't know. It's interesting to see. There are going to be a lot of people that get let out that probably shouldn't be, though.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like you're in jail for a reason, and you broke the law, and you obviously weren't being an upstanding citizen. Not that I want to obviously torture these people or anything like that, but, you know, for the most part, it's close quarters except for guests and the people that are working there. But I don't think that it should get to the drastic point of, like you, I mean, I'm like you, if you had a marijuana charge, fine. That's obviously something that we're getting to the point where you probably won't even do time for that anymore. But I think if it's anything like where you're taking advantage of people to cash in and or like you said, robbery or otherwise, I think those people, they earned their place to be a little less secure than the rest of the free world.
Interesting that you bring this up. How do you feel about a guy that was accused of murdering his friend, admitted that he killed the guy, but that it was an accident, is in jail awaiting his trial, petitions the judge to be released because of coronavirus, and then is granted the bail to be released where he is confined to his home. You good with that?
Nope, I'm not. And that's crazy guy that used to live in West U, right?
That happened. So yeah. Judge Deshaun Jones felt like David Cruz, who was detained, who admitted that he killed his friend. And by the way, just so we're clear, this is a family friend of mine whose brother was the victim of the crime. So that's why I know this. But yeah, the guy was, he couldn't afford the $60,000 bond. So he asked Deshaun Jones to lower the bond to 30 and impose electronic monitoring and pretrial supervision. So the judge granted that. Like, you're in jail on potentially murder. But this judge is like, nah, you're good, fam. Go ahead. Even though you admitted you killed the guy, we got to determine was it an accident or not. But you definitely killed him. There's no doubt about that. But nah, go ahead, fam. It's not like you're going to flee to Mexico or anything. Go ahead.
Well, that's ridiculous. No, but I actually, it doesn't at all. And I thought you were actually referring to is it Richard Dench or whatever, the guy that in West U that was down in Galveston. He killed his neighbor. He said he admitted he did it, said it was in self-defense. Somehow he got off of that one, and now he's going to trial for killing his best friend who was in Hollywood because she knew the backstory and he was afraid. So, again, this is just all speculation, but she disappeared and they hadn't solved it for years, and he's now on trial for the fact that he actually killed her because the story goes he knew that she knew what he did previously and it wasn't an accident and there might have been others, so she was potentially gonna rat him out So he killed her too. And now he's crazy. On trial for that. I could see that guy trying to petition getting out too.
That's just crazy.
This is the guy, by the way, they did the HBO. He was dumb enough and he was wanting the attention enough. They did an HBO kind of day in the life or where they followed him around and he thought the cameras were off. And that's when he started just unloading every detail that they needed about him killing his best friend. And that's how he got put back in jail.
Yikes. So yeah, it turns out that this judge denied, said he wouldn't lower it to 30, but said he didn't have to pay the $60,000 bond up front. Instead, he made him pay 3.5% payment to pretrial services. And then it said, if you violate the terms of the release, you may have to owe the full amount and could be returned to jail. It just makes no sense to me. So I think you have to have common sense. And obviously, some of these dumbass judges don't have common sense. And some of these dumbass politicians don't have common sense. And that's the scary part, is there's the potential that a lot of criminals that should be in jail won't be. That's a concern.
Yeah, basically everything that you've just said makes me believe that judge is doing everything he can because he wants that guy out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is bad. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to on the show. If you want to join us, lots of ways to do that. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line where you can text and call. You can also hit us up on Twitter where we're monitoring our Twitter feeds throughout the show. We'll continue with much more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel with you till 4. It was, I believe, Robert Durst. To be corrected, fellas, my friend Tufi is listening, and she said it was Durst, the guy I was speaking.
Oh, looks like we lost Joel.
Joseph,
there.
Yeah, he did message though. He did say it was Robert Durst, and yeah, Robert Durst is an absolute lunatic. I remember when that story came out, not the one I was talking about specifically, but because this one just occurred a week or two ago. But yeah, Robert Durst, absolute lunatic. And I wanted to mention something because, and I kind of wanted to get Joel's feedback too, but I'm sure he'll connect up soon. Have you seen the play-by-play stuff with Joe Buck?
I haven't.
So Joe Buck was bored at home, I guess, and decided that he was going to do play-by-play of everyday stuff. Just random, regular. He just told people, send me what just your everyday things that are going on in your life, and I'll do play-by-play of them. And I watched a bunch of them, and the internet is kind of going nuts for it, and you know, Bro Bible and all these other websites are putting it on there and saying, this is exactly what we needed. And I got to be honest with you, man. It wasn't that good to me. I watched like 5, 6. I gave it enough. I didn't watch just one and say that sucked. I watched like 5 or 6 of them, and then I came back the next day and watched a few more. It just didn't do it for me. And you know me, I love Joe Buck, but I was just not a fan of these play-by-plays. I thought they were boring and lame. I really did. Maybe that's just me.
Now, did you hear Frank Caliendo doing them?
No, I did not. Was he doing them as Joe Buck or what?
So Frank Caliendo is doing them as like Summerall. He's doing them as different voices. He's doing Madden. And
now
so
that's good.
Yeah. So he's doing like play-by-play of things for people with voices to pass the time and to get people obviously clicking on the website. But he's had a lot of good ones.
I'll tell you who to go follow. And he blows Joe Buck out of the water. And what he did is he's out with his own camera, I guess. and he's just videoing. This is it's across the pond, but at Nick Heath Sport, NickHeath Sport, all one word, at Nick Heath Sport. He's just doing like there was four ladies out walking their babies in strollers, and so he was doing it like it was NASCAR. There was this two people, random people at a crosswalk, and he was doing the play-by-play of the crosswalk. Absolutely hysterical. Joe Bucks was kind of lame. But Nick Heath Sport on Twitter, oh my God, it was hysterical. Definitely go follow him. I actually retweeted one of them from the crosswalk. But that was the one to me that was way more entertaining than Joe Buck. It was kind of lame. He never really got excited about anything. I don't know. It was kind of whack.
Well, it's kind of like just watching him do play-by-play of a regular game.
Don't you dare disparage the good
unless
Joe
he's
Buck.
Talking about a 21-year-old phenom from the Nationals.
So I wanted to bring this up. Or I meant to bring this up earlier. But when I was like, all right, I'm bored at home. I can't do comedy. And I was like, one of the things I was going to do is I'm going to do some stuff. In fact, this weekend I'm probably going to shoot some videos for my YouTube channel just to have something to do and some content to put up. Well, one of the things I put out as an offer was I was like, hey, I'll roast you. Just send me a picture of you holding a sign that says roast me at Barry is funny because I don't want somebody sending me somebody else's picture. Like that's what Nick would send me a picture of you, Joel, and be like, hey, roast me. And then I would do it and then I would feel bad because I wouldn't be roasting Nick. I'd be roasting you. So I had to have proof that it was that person, right?
Yep.
I put that out there amazingly. All of these crap talkers, all these people that love to talk trash about us on radio every single day and what an idiot I am, no takers. Real interesting that when it came time for them to get a little dose of their own medicine, nobody wanted to take me up on that offer. Y'all are a bunch of meow meows, just so you know. Everybody listening that talks crap on the text line or on Twitter that didn't take me up on my offer, you're a meow meow, okay? So...
did you expect it to be any other way based on what we see sometimes on the text line?
Not really, no. Speaking of roasting, can we talk about this thing we just heard at the break?
Okay, go right ahead. You lead us off, buddy.
I think Jason Braddock is an outstanding human being. And I think Patrick Creighton is really good at what he does. But for them to go on and on about James Harden being better than Hakeem Olajuwon, am I the only one that was listening to that going, what are they, what?
What? Hey, Nick, was Barry the only one reacting that way?
No.
No, because the same time, Barry, you were saying it, I was like, did I just hear those guys
I've
right?
never heard that promo before, but I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Did this go out over the air, or was this like a hidden conversation that we weren't supposed to hear?
Yeah, I love those guys. And
I
listen to them when I'm driving in the car, sometimes running errands when they're on. But the one thing I've noticed is, and I said to Nick, can we let them know they're not on the Rockets flagship? Because I have heard so much like over the top positive Rockets. And I'm going, okay, come on. I mean, at a certain point, and then when I heard, that's the first time I heard that promo too. And I was shocked that both of them were on the same page because obviously for, you know, you have that empty kind of feeling with James Harden because, yeah, he capitalizes on the rules and he's a hell of an offensive player. But when you talk about the hardware, both as a team and as an individual that Akeem's won, I can't make that. Right now, I can't make that comparison and honestly tell you Harden's better than Akeem?
Let me tell you why they're crazy. And both of them, and again, love them to death. And I know Patrick and I have had our beefs in the past, and we've since squashed it. And yes, we still block each other on Twitter, but that's because we're both stubborn and refuse to be the first person to unblock the other one. But that's okay. We're both petty like that. But in all seriousness, the reason why, to me, it's so crazy is that James Harden is a one-dimensional player. Is he good at his one dimension? You bet you. He is one of the best scorers, if not the best pure scorer on the planet. Mm-hmm. But he's one-dimensional. Olajuwon was a multi-dimensional player. He could score. He could defend. He would get steals. He could distribute the ball. He would get assists. He was a multi-dimensional player, and he was good at all of them. He was great at all of them. James Harden is a terrible defender.
See, I don't disagree with that, but I would, you know, and you're absolutely right. I think that the other thing when you look at it too is everybody's just going to look analytically at the stats. They're just going to take the pure points and those totals, but you can't just do that way because it minimizes the talents of Akeem. To find a guy that, whether he was 7 foot even or 6'10", a center that was athletic, as athletic and coordinated as Dream was, and the fact that he made his teammates better. They innovated in a whole new offense based on inverting into the inside-out game, and he was unselfish enough. He could have scored a ton more, but he knew for the betterment of the team, the guys on the perimeter were the way to win games. Kick it out to Kenny. Kick it out to Robert Horry. Kick it out to Mario Elie. Those kind of things, too. And you look at the way he transcended the game. He set the record for block shots. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't start counting him from the first day he was in the NBA. So there's other things, too, where he's kind of limited statistically. But your eye test on this guy was like, he was once in a generation. He was like one of the most gifted big men you'll ever see on the planet. Do you say that about James Harden? No. Like you said, give him his credit as being a scorer. But show me where he's even close in terms of being able to say defensively. And I don't want to hear all this other stuff about the Matt Bullardisms the low post and all this other stuff. Just show me where, from block shots to just strictly team defense and post defense, and just the way, look at, he came out on the perimeter and blocked John Starks' shot in the biggest game. And then I go back to the hardware too. It's team hardware. It's individual hardware. It's hardware in the finals.
And James Harden leads the league in my bads. So I don't year in and year out and loafing and, you know, last man down the court. If that was a stat, if last man down the court was a stat, James Harden would be all world at last man down the court. So there's just so many flaws in outside of his game when it comes to scoring to me that it's ridiculous.
Right, because to your point too, instead of loafing down the court, Akeem Olajuwon covered half of an NBA court to block Kevin Johnson from behind, to block Rod Strickland from behind at the Compaq Center. He went out on the perimeter to get John Starks. He took on Ewing and Shaq. Shaq was the one that even said Shaq was never intimidated. Shaq was intimidated about trying to stop and stay with Akeem Olajuwon. I mean, you go up and down the list, and then, like I said, you get into all the awards and all the accomplishments, and you're like, yeah, James Harden is in the same category of an Allen Iverson or a Tracy McGrady, where individually, from a scoring perspective, don't take anything away from them. They earn everything that they get. But in terms of talking about an all-time great, and we talk about this all the time, it's what have you done overall, winning championships and achievement within the playoffs, where you're going to be graded the highest.
And look, normally I don't try to go like, you know, we get a lot of heat from Fred and AJ. They love to come on after our show and talk crap about our takes, or they'll tell us in person or do it on their show. And I normally try not to be that guy, but this infuriated me that they would disparage the good name of Akeem Olajuwon. And normally I would just leave whatever bad takes are made on any other show. I never really comment on them, but I just happened to hear that at the break and thought this travesty cannot stand. And also I'll say this: they should respond in kind if they disagree with this. But
they're
felt
welcome
like that was
to
ludicrous.
Because yeah, we're not trying to kill them. We're just
I am because it was an awful take, but still.
I mean, and like I said, it's one thing to say, hey, James is the best scorer. Like you just said, Harden might be the best scorer on the planet right now. But when you're graded as one of the best centers ever to play the game, it's a totally different.
He's one of the 50 best basketball players of all time. And I would dare say he's one of the 20 best basketball players of all time. And you could even argue 15. I mean, there's Olajuwon was one of a kind. And James Harden, one of a kind scorer, not a one of a kind basketball player.
We'll leave it there. If you guys want to get in on the discussion, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number. You can hit us up on Twitter. We're rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
What the hell?
Ain't this some sh**?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we keep rolling along. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be, as you are self-quarantining and distancing, social distancing. Barry, I wanted to throw this out to you and Nick, because you mentioned Joe Buck. I am very – let me say this. I'm not going to be biased, so I'm not going to be happy about this. The Sports Emmy nominations are out, and Joe Buck did not get nominated for play-by-play. Sorry to let you know that. But
– oh, it's a travesty.
Let me get your votes, fellas, on the following. Outstanding okay. Sports personality on television. And what?
Barry Laminack. Gonna,
No. That's a bunch of BS. Okay. Some of these are going to scratch your temple a little bit, but here they go. Studio analyst Charles Barkley, Bill Belichick. Yes, I said Bill
what?
Belichick.
What?
Yeah. Jay Billis. I can explain. Al Leiter. Kenny Smith, Michael Strahan. Remember now, NFL Network did the 100 greatest players of all time, and Belichick was in studio and filmed all six of the episodes, and a lot of people liked what he did there, but I guess that was enough to be considered.
Listen, it doesn't matter. The correct answer is Barkley. That's it.
Correct. I would agree. Hands down. All right. Play-by-play. Kenny Albert, Mike Breen, Mike Doc Emrick, the voice of the NHL, Al Michaels, Jim Nantz.
Wait a minute. Kiss my whole entire ass. How is Kevin Harlan not on there?
Yeah, for real.
I don't know, but he's not. And he does do national TV as well. But it does say.
I am not voting.
All right, Nick, your call. Kenny Albert.
Kenny
Mike
Albert
Breen.
Or Al Michaels, probably.
Kenny Albert?
Yeah, or Al Michaels, one of those two. I mean, when you consider what's left, who'd you say? Mike Breen, Mike Emmerich, Jim Nantz?
And Al Michaels, yeah. And what? Not Marv Albert now. Kenny Albert. What's Kenny Albert doing that I'm missing?
NFL on Fox, Fox Boxing, what? MLB on
to
Fox.
To me, this comes down to the middle three, Mike Breen, Mike Emmerich, Al Michaels. I think Doc Emrick gets hurt by the fact that he's doing hockey and it's not a mainstream. But Doc Emrick is fantastic. But if you have my vote just off the top, I say Mike Breen.
If I'm going to vote, it's going to be Kevin Harlan. But if I have to pick from that list, I'm going to go Al Michaels.
Okay.
And I'm with you. I think Doc Emrick would probably be my second place vote.
I would be curious how Doc Emrick would sound doing football.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I believe he might be all right. All right, here you go. Studio host, James Brown, Ernie Johnson, Brian Kenny from MLB Network, Mike Tirico, Scott Van Pelt.
Wait, what? What does Van Pelt do?
Studio. He's a studio person. Yeah, well, he does the Sports Center. He does his own Sports Center. And then he's the studio host for, like, the Masters coverage on Thursday and Friday of Masters Week. Special big events, he does studio.
Yeah, but, you would have to grade him on that. You would have to grade him on his studio show, on his Sports Center show.
Again, to me, and Tirico does Sunday night.
Right?
That's where he's dubbed the studio host. Where else is he dubbed the studio host?
Well, that's what Joel was saying, the Masters and stuff.
Yeah, because it's weird that you have a sports personality and then you have an event analyst that's coming up where you have the actual analyst in studio. And then you have outstanding studio show, which SportsCenter's nominated, but not specifically the Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter. Like, the Dan Patrick Show is nominated for studio show, but not the Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter. It's just SportsCenter in general.
That's weird.
For studio host, so I would go Ernie. I would go Ernie or Scott Van Pelt.
I'm going Ernie Johnson as well.
What were the choices again?
James Brown.
There was one other one.
Ernie Johnson, Brian Kenny from MLB Network, Mike Tirico from Sunday Night Football, Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, I would say Ernie, but I really like Mike Tirico. I think he's tops at most everything he does. So
you
I'm
just
go
like
Tirico.
His big microphone.
Okay,
here we go. Outstanding sports personality reporter, Tom Rinaldi, ESPN. Ken Rosenthal, MLB. Holly Rowe, ESPN. Michelle Tafoya. Tom Verducci.
What was the second one?
Rosenthal.
Tom Rinaldi, Ken Rosenthal, Holly Rowe, Michelle Tafoya, Tom Verducci.
I'd probably go Rosenthal and then Michelle Tafoya.
I'm going Rosenthal as well. I think when he does baseball, he brings a lot to the table. So I'm going to go Rosenthal as well. Nick?
It would be Rosenthal or Verducci for me. I like Tom Verducci. I think he's pretty good. A lot of people think he's a bit of a dick sometimes, but I think he's a good dude. I think he does well.
He's like a younger version of Larry Merchant. I just hate the fact that you can time him with a calendar when he tries to get a sideline report out. It takes too long. Okay.
So no love for Michelle Tafoya, huh? Because I think she does a pretty good job. I just like Rosenthal a little bit better. Okay.
She's okay. Yeah. All right. And so finally, outstanding sports person. No. Outstanding sports personality, in-game analyst, Troy Aikman, Chris Collinsworth. Oh, Barry, you're going to love this list.
No.
Troy Aikman, Chris Collinsworth.
This is a no-brainer.
Kirk Herbstreit, whether he does Ohio State games or not. John Smoltz, Tony Romo.
I mean, duh. Tony Romo.
I think this
then
year.
Smoltz.
Yep. I'm with you completely. I would go exactly that way. Romo, Smoltz. And Smoltz is always good. So the other ones were outstanding weekly studio show, College Game Day, Football Night in America, Fox NFL Sunday, Fox NFL Thursday, Inside the NBA.
Inside the NBA.
I would agree. And then outstanding studio show. Nick, who do you got in studio show?
Studio show, probably Inside the NBA.
And then outstanding studio show daily. Dan Patrick Show, MLB Tonight, NHL Live, Outside the Lines, PTI, SportsCenter.
Ooh.
Be Patrick or PTI for me. What's yours, Barry?
MLB Tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Boy, it's tough. I'm not a fan of the person in a lot of ways, but I'm going to go Dan Patrick Show. I just think that he gets great guests on whenever he wants them. He still has that kind of sarcastic humor. His crew brings a lot to the table. I'm going to go Dan Patrick Show.
Okay.
I like Dan Patrick because he's a good, like, I feel like he does really well. It's not just the names that he brings to the show, but he also is a really good interviewer. And I think that's probably one of my favorite things about that show.
I would tend to agree with you. And Barry, by the way, outstanding live sports special, the FIFA Women's World Cup for me, hands down. Definitely.
What?
Nothing else compares. Yeah. No question.
What was the other choices?
Stanley Cup, Jackson, Super Bowl, Hopscotch, World Series. Damn. Kentucky Derby, Daytona 500, and the Masters. It's the FIFA Women's World Cup, without a question. It's just, it's hands down.
Get off my radio. Get out of my ear.
Take your sexist and never mind. All right, so that's the first hour of the show. Still got 2 hours to go. Having a whole lot of fun on The Usual Suspects. Join us, won't you? ESPN 97.5. Kids on the hill with my mom and my pops. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around, jump around, jump up and get down.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it.